Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. The United Nations, much in the news since the end of the Second War, 80 years later, what is to be done? Malcolm and I invite and are very pleased to welcome Hillel Neuer, the Executive Director of UN Watch, a very well-informed source for a conversation about the crisis in the Middle East right now, especially the Gaza war, and then the crisis in New York, organizations that are no longer trustworthy, one in particular that the U.S. has withdrawn from, again, UNESCO. But we begin with UNRWA. Hillel, a very good evening to you. UNRWA remains in the Middle East. UNRWA remains on the margins of the war in Gaza and the war in Hezbollah, despite the evidence brought forth and the clear conviction of that evidence that UNRWA is a principle in the Hamas gangsterism, has been for a long time, that there are manufactured incidents that UNRWA is in charge of, that UNRWA has permitted its facilities to be used by Hamas for years, and that is ready to resume its role as a camouflage for Hamas once the war starts. Stops and starts again, or just stops and calls itself a ceasefire. What is the opinion at the UN about the revelations of UNRWA during this war? And is there any push whatsoever to remove UNRWA from the region? Good evening to you, Hillel.
Thank you, John. Malcolm. Look, the revelations were grave that came out in the past 2 years. They included the fact that those who participated in the massacre of families on October 7th were UNRWA employees, including an UNRWA social worker who kidnapped the lifeless body of 21-year-old Yonatan Samarano back into the Gaza Strip. And for nearly 2 years, that body was hidden. Only recently, the Israelis managed to somehow recover the body and received a funeral. But UNRWA officials were involved, and you know, the truth is that it isn't a few bad apples. It's an agency that is rotten to the core. We have a report coming out in September, which documents in 200 pages how UNRWA in Gaza is infested with Hamas, infested with Hamas. The head of the entire union of all UNRWA employees, not only in Gaza, which is 13,000 employees, but of the entire region. So that's 30,000 UNRWA employees, which is a mini state in Gaza, Lebanon, Jordan, bits in Syria, West Bank. And the head of the union for a number of years was a gentleman named Su'eil Al-Hindi, who was an UNRWA teacher in Gaza, a school principal, head of the union, also an elected member of the Hamas Political Bureau. So a senior terrorist was heading 30,000 UNRWA employees. UNRWA knew this. This was public information in Gaza. They were told about it. They tried to deny it. They tried to push back. Eventually, they said, we asked him. He said, it's not true. So we did our due diligence. Finally, they were forced to let him go. Su'eil Al-Hindi eventually fled to Turkey, and he's now one of the active surviving leaders of Hamas. And that is, again, it's not a bad apple. This is the guy who was in charge of 30,000 UNRWA employees. Even in his absence in Turkey, he still retains very close ties to those who succeeded him. And our report will show all down the line, from the leaders of the unions, the school principals, the teachers, infested with Hamas, and UNRWA knows it. They know it. So when you get a report, when UNRWA says Israel is starving Palestinians, you have to keep in mind that's basically Hamas is telling you that.
Malcolm?
So tell us, number one, what is the presence today of UN in Gaza and the area, other than being critics, it doesn't seem that they're playing any role in the negotiations. They haven't done anything from what I could tell about the hostages. And you can please set that record straight if it's not correct. And also in regard to the provisions that supposedly the UN was getting in, when we know that this was being hijacked by Hamas and then sold, that $1 billion last year came to them just from selling the hijacked food. How would you assess their presence in the area? Are the separation forces in Gaza still operating? Are any things in the Sinai, are anything, any presence of the UN really relevant?
Well, you know, you make a good point. In the past 2 years of this war, there have been numerous significant international negotiations, including how to get the hostages back, how to end the war. And there once was a time when a UN mediator could be an important figure in going back and forth. In this case, not at all. I mean, the Israelis regard the UN as completely compromised, and that's coming from the top. Guterres has disgraced himself barely 2 weeks after Hamas launched its invasion and massacre. Guterres went before the UN and he said, well, you know, yeah, I condemn Hamas, but he said, you know, their attacks did not happen in a vacuum. And he went on to enumerate numerous alleged Palestinian grievances over the years, one after the other, effectively to legitimize what Hamas did on October 7th. And that message resonated throughout the UN. You have the head of the UN's World Health Organization making that kind of narrative. You have the infamous UN rapporteur, Francesca Albanese, but a range of UN agencies, including OCHA, which is the UN's main humanitarian agency, all of them have embraced a hardline, not just pro-Palestinian, but pro-Hamas and vitriolically anti-Israel narrative. And so they've sidelined themselves completely. And then you come to the, you know, on the ground in terms of the aid, we know that there are hundreds of trucks worth of aid in Gaza. We just saw yesterday the view from a drone going over a massive area of trucks worth of aid, and the UN isn't picking them up for all kinds of reasons, including logistical difficulties. There's a war going on, and they may not have truck drivers who want to pick it up. But instead of the UN saying we have logistical challenges, we're afraid to drive in certain areas, they're just running wildly with the accusation that Israel is starving Palestinians, when of course that is the worst thing for Israel to happen, when their goal is just to defeat Hamas. So this narrative that Israel is starving Palestinians is a massive lie put forth by Hamas and the UN, you know, based on a kernel of truth. The kernel of truth is that the situation is getting difficult because the UN is not distributing the aid they're supposed to, because Hamas is attacking the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a new initiative of a few months duration so far, which has been backed by the U.S. and Israel, which is a way to give aid directly to the Palestinians without letting Hamas hijack the aid and use the money to fuel their terrorism.
Hillel, are there no voices at the U.N. who dissent from this propaganda campaign? Is there any representative of the General Assembly or of the apparatus that's in New York to stand up and say this propaganda that's going out? Every morning I listen to it on the Financial Times summary of the news. X number of Gazans were murdered last night by the Israelis while they were standing in line starving to death. It goes like this. I'm not exaggerating. Every morning. Is there no one to say no to it?
There are very few. There are very few. If you talk about the member states, out of 193 member states, you know, at best, you can get a handful in any given vote or debate who are willing to speak out, barely a handful. Often it's just the United States. Other countries may quietly say something, but they're afraid of incurring the wrath of, you know, 2 billion Muslims and 56 Islamic states. And of course, the hard left around the world, which has rallied, and not just the hard left, center left, you know, in Canada, where I grew up, in the United Kingdom, in Australia, they are run by center left governments, but who have turned against Israel in very significant ways, breaking with their past. So many people around the world who may be sympathetic to Israel are intimidated from speaking out. And then you asked about the UN apparatus. You know, again, a handful of people who call me and say, Hillel, I work at the UN. I'm a UN official. And what I see is shocking. I can't even begin to tell you. They tell me, they say, Hillel, a gentleman came up to me the other day. He's not Jewish. He's been at the UN for many years. And he said, look, for the past several years, I've been trying to understand what's going on here. And I've tried every possible way to analyze it. And I have no other way of explaining it than just plain anti-Semitism. This is a veteran UN official, not Jewish, from Europe. And you know, he's shocked by what he's seeing. But again, these are a handful of people who approach me. And, you know, maybe there's several others who feel that way. They're intimidated, but the vast majority are drinking from the Kool-Aid. They have demonized Israel. The UN is a Babel. It's a Tower of Babel. They speak 70 different languages. They disagree on everything. But the one thing they can all rally together and say, that evil Jewish state. Sadly, that hatred unites many of them.
We're speaking to the executive director of UN Watch, Hillel Neuer. The site is very easy to manage, unwatch.org. When we come back, we're going to New York. And the decision by the Trump administration to leave UNESCO, what does that mean? Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.